The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate that. I appreciate the men working on the lapel mic the other day by accident. Somebody dropped it, and we were able to get it back up and running again. And so thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 6 and look at verse 16, where the Bible says this. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord," so we know who is speaking here. We know that the Lord is the one that gives us that which is the internal, inerrant, preserved Word of God. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see." There is a way that if you stand in, you'll see things. If you have not stood in those ways, you would not see what you're supposed to see. The Bible says, "Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way?" So one thing we know about the old paths is there is goodness in the old paths. The Bible says, "And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, and I think this is a very tragic thing that they said, "We will not walk therein." Let me give you a story, if I may. Many years ago, there was a man that was named Charles Schwab. Charles Schwab, of course, was a key figurehead in the Andrew Carnegie steel industry, the empire that he had built. And he had a friend that was a very close friend of his. And this man's name was Ivy Lee. Ivy Lee was highly recommended to him by a fellow that was even closer to him at that time by the name of John D. Rockefeller. And John D. Rockefeller came to Schwab, and he knew about Lee and had become a friend with him, but did not know all that he knew, how Lee could be a help to him. And he met with Lee because it just seemed like that things were not going right in his steel empire, if you will. And so he met with him, and he said, "I just don't know. I need an overhaul. I need something that's going to take place in the industry to change it completely." And so he met with Ivy Lee, and Ivy Lee sat down with him, and just in 25 minutes, he said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to list 6 things that are most important to you, and I want you to prioritize those 6 things that you're going to do tomorrow morning when you go to the office. And then I want you to check those things off as you do them. If you don't get them done, I want you to take the remainder of those 6 things and put it over to the next day. And then when you come into the office, those things that were remaining become the top priority, and you add enough to make it a total of 6. And then you'll check those 6 things off if you get them done. But whatever's remaining, of course, you'll carry to the next day, and they become top priority, and you take the other important things only to make up 6. Never go 7, only to make up 6. And all you're going to do is accomplish 6 major things in your industry to change it every single day. Never 7, never 8, just 6. And he said, "You try that for 35 days. And after 35 days, you send me a check of what you think it's worth." So 35 days later, he received a check in the mail for $25,000 with a huge thank you that said, "What you have taught me has changed my life." Now, can I tell you tonight, what I'm going to teach you is going to change your life. What I'm going to teach you is give you insight that you didn't have before, because if you'll place things in proper order in your life, you're going to find out that it opens a window whereby God will bless you. You're going to find out if you put God first in your life, you're going to find out that by putting Him first in your life, that you will have less worries. I did not say that you'll have no worries, but I said that you'll have less worries. You'll have, if you would please, less friction. When you think of the old paths, you think of course, things that we have stood for over the years as Fundamental Independent Baptists. You think of things that have changed in most recent years, by the way. You think of things that churches have compromised on. There used to be a day, I tell you for sure, there used to be a day when people loved truth and they hated a lie. By the way, that was before you ever saw a church that was running buses. That was back when they were running camels. I'm saying that there's some truth that we understand in the Bible that God is for, and that there's some things that God is against. God's always been for godly music. God has always been for a distinctive dress that differentiates the sexes between the male and the female. God has always been for holy living. God has always been for respecting your parents and other authorities that God places in your life. God has always been for having first place, not just in that world or worlds I mentioned a moment ago, but God has always been for being first in your financial world. God simply wants to be first all around. But sometimes, here's what we do, we seemingly put God second. Or we'll put him third. Or we'll put him fourth somewhere down the line. I like the old paths when cursing was still wicked. Drinking was still evil. And divorce was simply unthinkable. I do like the old paths as an American citizen, where we understood as a Christian American that we have a country that deserves our honor and our sacred pledge. I love America. I'm glad that America has welcomed God, at least for the time being. But I do like the old paths where in America, public reading of the Bible is still accepted. Where in extreme emergencies, even, yes, young people in public schools are allowed to pray. I like the fact that we welcome God on a limited scale, not like we used to, but still welcoming God. I wish we would get back to the way it used to be. I wish we would accept the Bible back in our public schools. I wish that every day in a public school, like it was when I was in public school, we opened our day, and this was at a public school, but we opened our day in a public school by reading one verse in the Bible, by having prayer over the intercom system, and by saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. I believe our young people are greatly deprived because those things are not happening in their midst today. I love to be able to be in a country where we believe we have something worth dying for, but I also love being around Christians that believe that they have something, stay with the thought, worth living for. Because I think before you can take up the sacrificial banner and say, I'm going to die for something, I think you ought to take up the sacrificial banner and say, I'm going to live for something. I love the old paths when cowards were shot, deserters were hung, and criminals were sent to prison and not to Washington, D.C. I love the old paths, if you will, when homo was an unheard word and abortions were illegal. I do love the old paths where preachers would get up and say what they meant instead of skirting the issue. I like it when the preachers would get up to preach and Christians would shout because they had personal victory. I like the old paths where preachers would preach the Bible, not preach out of somebody else's commentary. Where preachers would get up and they'd actually use verses to, listen to me now, back up what they said instead of a simple illustrative story. I do like the old paths where the singers would get up and they would sing from their heart and not as a performance. Like the old paths where a new birth meant a new life, where salvation meant a changed life, where joining a church was not like joining a social club where you showed up when you wanted to, but by joining a church, you placed your loyalty and your faithfulness in that church with a determination that you would be on time and in each and every possible service. I like the old paths where preachers would get up and they'd preach against booze. They'd preach against drugs. They preach for holy living, and they preach against the crowd that ran around with each other that was disturbing the very cause of Christ in its direction and the proclamation of that which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like the old paths where the preachers would get up and when they would call the name of God and when they would call out truth, people would get excited about it and the deacons would back the preacher instead of bashing the preacher. I like the old paths. I like the old paths when the law was based on the Word of God and the Bible was read in homes and the churches taught the Bible. I like the old paths where preachers were more interested in converts than they were new cars and new pieces of clothing. Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 10, the Bible says, remove not the old landmarks. Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 28, the Bible says, remove not the ancient landmarks, it says, which thy fathers have set. Truth has always been truth. I thank God for fundamentalism. I am a fundamentalist not by birth. I was not raised a fundamentalist. I became a fundamentalist by choice. I was raised Catholic. Curtis Hudson used to say, Baptist born and Baptist dead. And when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I was not Baptist born and I was not Baptist bred. But I can promise you when I die, I will be Baptist dead. I became Baptist by conviction. I found out that there was a group out there that was called Fundamental Independent Baptist People that actually believed, taught, and preached the Bible. I'm not saying that we have the greatest church in all the world, and I'm not saying we have the best church in all the world, and I'm not saying we have the most godly church in all the world, but this is a place where you will come and you will hear unapologetically the truths from the Word of God. We're not going to back up on that. We're not going to change that. It's not going to be something that we put up our finger like a Bill Clinton to see which way the wind blows, to see which way we're going to turn. We're going to keep to the old paths of that which is the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Now, can I tell you, there's many paths. You live in Texas, you know this. You can go out to the plains area and there's many paths you can follow. Some paths lead in a direction and they dead end. Other paths in the Texas plains or through some of the Texas forests will leave in a round path. And they go round and round and round just like a dog that's chasing its tail. Other paths are proven paths. As we talk about the paths of the Word of God tonight, I think we ought to make sure that they're proven paths. Jeremiah reaches out to the people and he preaches about the old paths. Jeremiah reaches out to the people and he's talking to those that are there in Judah and they've experienced turmoil and moral decay. And now he preaches to them that which is the infallible truths of the Word of God, and these people rise up and they say, we do not want it. That is a very dangerous ground. Jeremiah preaches to the children of Judah, and I want you to understand this. Let me just give you a very brief little short outline tonight. Here's what we understand. Jeremiah chapter 6 and in verse 16, the Bible says, stand ye in the ways. So there's a way in which God wants us to stand. That's why the Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. We ought to be Bible believers and Bible teachers in our own home. We ought to be able to teach our children the sacred truths of the Word of God. And can I tell you, the sacred truths of the Word of God is more black and white in its delivery than it is gray. And we have to understand that when God says something, he did not say it to make himself feel good, but he said it to help us and to instruct us. If a person says, well, I don't agree with that, it's not that they don't agree with the preacher. Many times, moreover than that, they don't agree with that which was the author of the Bible, who is God himself. Can I say that Jeremiah stood? And Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, stand ye in the ways. There was a lack of doctrinal distinctiveness here in these people, and they just did not understand which way to stand. They didn't understand which way to lie down. They did not understand which way to be able to sit. They did not understand which way in order to go. And so Jeremiah stands up with his loud voice and his preaching skills, and he reads aloud, and he tries to get the people, and he urges them to stand, it says, in the ways and see. And if you do not stand in the ways of God, you're going to miss a blessing. There's things out there that God wants to show you, and God wants to give to you, and God wants you to have in your life. And you can go out and you can taste of the world, and you can see, and you can taste of the world. And by the way, are you listening to me? There's many people out there tonight that they're tasting of wrong type of watching on their flat screens and on their computer screens, and they're indulging themselves in that which is wickedness. And no wonder we have a perverse and wicked generation. Why? Simply because they're following the ways of the flesh. And I'm telling you, just like Paul said that we're supposed to mortify the flesh, we're supposed to put it to death, we're not supposed to rise it up. God wants to be God. There is still that verse in the Bible where it says, be holy even as I am holy. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 5, the Bible says, and ye are the children of the light. The Bible says, and the children of the day. We are not, it says, of the night, nor of darkness. There's a difference. We're children of God tonight. You know that your body is the temple of God. You know that you're supposed to glorify your body. You're supposed to be able to glorify God in your body, which is the Lord's. We know that. Why is it that a Christian would smoke a cigarette? Choice. Why is it that a Christian tonight would put a beer to their lips? Choice. Drugs, choice. Immorality, choice. Wicked movie viewing, choice. Why is it tonight that we do not separate ourselves, stay with me now, onto the Lord God? You have a choice tonight to be holy. You have a choice tonight to walk with God. You listen to me tonight. You ought to decide that you're going to be an individual that puts God at the front of your life and at the center of your life. And you ought to decide tonight, it doesn't matter how dark our world gets tonight, but God ought to be first, and God ought to shine His light inside of your heart, inside of your home, inside of your family. And somebody ought to rise up, and somebody ought to stand for God, and somebody ought to decide that God is right, and it doesn't matter who else does what. Let God be God and every man a liar, and stay with the old paths. There's got to be that call. They surveyed 35,000 quote unquote believers in America. Most of these were evangelical believers. And here's what they said. Most evangelicals today believe that a person can work their way to heaven, and that living a life for God truly makes an eternal difference in going to heaven. Past president of the Southern Baptist Convention said this at the convention. He said, people do not do their faith because the gospel that was once clearly preached in virtually every Protestant church, well, right there he was wrong. Because Baptists were never Protestants. We never had anything to protest about. The Bible says is rarely heard in our century. Now that's despicable. That's terrible. That's why I emphasize much, and I'm trying. You know, you pray for me instead of criticizing me, and instead of critiquing me, and instead of tearing me apart. Why don't you pray that preacher does keep the right balance? You say, boy, he gets up in that pulpit and he emphasizes soul winning way too much. Well, then how much have you prayed that I don't emphasize it as much? Well, he gets up and he preaches living for God way too much. Then why don't you pray that maybe I'll get a balance? I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying there has to be that which is the call. And I'm for churches being right, but I'm having a hard time with churches that are using weight loss programs to draw people and social clubs to draw people and a sports program to draw people and a music theatrical club in order to draw people. Hey, let's get back to old-fashioned Bible doctrine. Why don't we get, you said, but that's going to draw them in. Hey, let's go get them. Let's go out there and compel them to come in. That way the house of God just might be full. Let's prove to a lost and dying world that God is still God. Let's prove to a lost and dying world that God can still do it the old-fashioned way. Let's not compromise the truth, but let's get them in the way God says to get them in. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that there is a call. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, for the which cause. He says, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep them, which keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. God is the one that can help to keep it. Heaven is true. Hell is true. Lake of fire is true. We have an inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God in the King James Bible. All other forms of Bibles are perversions. We've stood on it. We will stand on it. We have preached it. We teach from it. There is no other. I don't study from another version. I study from only one. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, and be not slothful, but followers of them, it says, through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Psalm 17 and verse 4, the Bible says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me, it says, from the paths of the destroyer. He said, I have listened to the words. And it says, those words have kept me from a path of destruction. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, moreover, it's required in stewards, listen to it now, stewards, that a man be found faithful. You know, anybody can be faithful. You say, preacher, I only make $100 a week. Well, you can be faithful to tithe 10. Well, preacher, I only make $10 a week. You can be faithful to tithe 1. You said, but I don't have the ability to teach Sunday school. But you got the ability to be faithful. Well, I don't have the ability to go out and do like Brother Salazar does or did and went to Mexico and had all those people saved. I just don't have that ability. But you can be available. You can be somebody that cares. There's somebody out there that you can reach that nobody else can reach. There's somebody out there that you can give the gospel to that nobody else they'll listen to. There's somebody out there that will listen to you and they'll turn everybody else off. We have churches today that's changing their names. We have what used to be Baptist churches that's taken Baptists off the sign. We have people today that's just deciding that what used to be called the old paths in their lives is not the old paths anymore. And I'm telling you, we ought to decide tonight that the old paths is worth standing for, it's worth dying for, and it is worth doing what is right by. There's a call. With that call ought to come a commitment. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. As for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein. There's got to be a commitment. Statement number 2. Not just a call, but a commitment. I've seen technology change over the years. I remember when I was pastoring in Tennessee, my wife remembers this. I had what I call the bat phone. This thing had an electric charger, a battery, if you will, that was bigger than the phone itself. Had an antenna that you put up. You would charge it by putting it in the cigarette lighter or charging it by putting it, of course, in an outlet at home. Wouldn't last very long. Very bad reception. Then all of a sudden they came out with a, they called mobile phones. Came out with a mobile phone. And then it went from the mobile phone to flip ones. You remember the flip ones, Motorola flip phones? And boy, you came out with a, you flip the thing up. Couldn't text, never heard of that. And you'd dial it and you call. They started adding texts. And boy, I remember preachers. You know, preachers would preach against the, what I call the bat phones. Then they'd get on the hobby horse and they'd preach against the mobile phones. Then they'd get on another hobby horse and they'd preach against the cell phones. You know, can I tell you, God is not against technology? Can I tell you, you ought to breathe and realize that you're now in 2015? Can I tell you, God can use technology? Preachers that used to preach against microphones use them today. Preachers that used to preach against cell phones have them today. Hello? You know, you know, technology is something that's neutral. You know, you can use technology any way you want to. You could. You could use technology any way you want to. On these screens tonight, we could put something that's very bad. We're not going to. They belong to God. But we will use them for the edifying and for the instructing and for the helping of believers that need to grow in grace. There's nothing wrong with using it that way. Are you listening to me tonight? You know, you can use a gun. A gun is neutral. You can pick up a gun, put it in the hands of a robber, and it becomes a weapon of ultimate destruction. Put it in the hands of a police officer. I said a police officer. And it becomes a weapon of defense, a weapon, if you would please, of protection. These idiots, it's against the police departments. Hey, I thank God we've got police. I was in a place of eating the other day. Two weeks prior, I was in a place and I got a haircut, and a policeman walked in, and I took care of that. And I said, thank you. Last week, I was in a place of eating. Policeman walked in. I said, I'd like to buy your meal. He said, why? I said, I don't know. I don't know what's come over me. I said, no, I'd like to buy your meal because I thank God for you. Amen. You're doing a great job. Amen. Stop the police officer. We have a guy that kind of works our area here, works our parking lot. And he will ride through our parking lot several times a week. I pulled over beside him this past week and rolled my window down, said, I hadn't seen you in a while, and just want to thank you. He said, well, preacher, thank you so much. I said, no, really, I mean that. I really appreciate you and all that you do. And I thank God for you. And if I can ever do anything to help you, I'm here for you. I want you to know that. You've been kind to us, and I appreciate you immensely. Now, I drove off. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, please understand, the Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 26, if you will, and verse 30, the Bible says, and thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which it says was showed to thee in the mount. We ought to get as close to doing things by purpose for God as we possibly can. You know, writing books is nothing new. Matter of fact, the Bible taught over in the Old Testament that they were supposed to publish the Word of God. So writing books is nothing new. You know, putting on a radio broadcast and getting out the gospel, that's nothing new. Using the printed page is nothing new. What I'm trying to help you to see is there's a starking difference, if you will, please, between that which is a call that God has given us to stay true to the paths, but understand the paths are that which stands upon the truth. Amen. Amen. I've often said there's a difference between a preference box and a conviction box. Right. I have a preference. I wear black socks. Now, I don't do it when I play basketball, but I don't have to worry about that much because I don't play basketball much. But I like black socks. Okay? I have a preference. I ask the fellas on the platform to wear white shirts. Now, that's a preference. It's not a conviction. It's not something that if all of a sudden one of them rises up, they'll lose their salvation. I didn't give them their salvation. They can't lose it if I didn't give it to them. I have a preference. I don't care if they wear colored shirts all week long. I wear them teaching to college. I don't care. Now you're quiet. Preferences. You know, it doesn't matter to me if somebody has a cell phone. It doesn't matter to me if somebody doesn't. You better make sure you control it.
Amen.
I'm saying there's a difference between preferences and convictions. And you need to have a preference box, and you need to have a conviction box, and you need to distinctively decide what is right according to the Word of God and put that in your conviction box and leave. Don't put your preferences so high that you think if a person doesn't keep your preference that now they have broken a Bible truth. Hello? It's my preference that I keep clean shaven. Not on my head, on my face. But that's not my preference for you. Some of you guys look better covering your face. I'm saying, are you listening to me tonight? I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, we understand that there has to be a commitment. Hey, listen, if it's pure and it's right and it's holy, I still believe that ladies ought to be modestly clothed. Let the men wear the breeches. You wear that which is a long veiling garment. Sounds like a dress. But what I'm saying tonight is this. Know the difference. I double dog dare you, get your Bible down and find out what God wants. I'm saying tonight there's a call, there's a commitment. Statement number 3, and I'm done. And you're going to like this one. There's a calmness. There's a calmness. There's something about knowing what God says, committing to what God says, that gives a calmness even in the midst of a sea. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, as we dwell on that verse tonight, he says, thus saith the Lord, standing in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. It says, where is the good way? It says, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest, 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 rest. It says, for your souls. What's the soul? The soul is comprised of 3. It's the mind, the will, and the emotion. Here's what he says. He says, when you do these things, you're going to find rest for your mind. You're not going to be troubled all the time. You're going to find rest for your will. It's not going to be, you know, I just don't know, and you're wrestling with the will. And you're going to find rest for your emotions. You know, you're going to be stable. 2 more verses, I'm done. Psalm 37 and verse 7, the Bible says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently, it says, for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way because of a man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He said, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And can I tell you, I'm a good sleeper. When I'm tired, I don't care where I am. I can lay my head down. I could go lay in the back of somebody's yard. On the grass, grab a stone for my pillow, and I'll go to sleep. And I'll dream some of the most wonderful things. Rest. Psalm 119, verse 165, the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I said this. We had young believers coming to church. We still have many young believers that come to our church that has received Christ, and I'm so proud of you. But before you jump out, give us a chance to help, guide, strengthen, teach. I've said often, I said, you ought to find yourself a church that is stronger than you are. Listen to me now. And don't let that be a threat to you.
Amen.
Because at least they're going to lead you, if you will, to be better for the Lord than what you presently are.
Right.
And they'll help you. In our church, you'll hear Bible preaching. It's pretty strong.
Right.
You'll hear things straightforward. In a Sunday school class, you might have a Sunday school teacher that is, and when they get in there, it's like, that is your dose that you need every Sunday morning. You don't need Geritol. You have somebody else that's tall in your life called a Sunday school teacher. But that's not bad. I remember one time I was sick, and my mom said this, you need to take this medicine because it's going to make you better. And I said, I've tasted that medicine before, Mom. That's not true. It's going to make me worse because it tastes yuck. She said, well, sometimes you have to get past the taste in order to see. But if you'll taste it long enough, you will see. When I became a believer, I came across a verse one day in the Bible where it says, taste of the Lord. First, there's the tasting. And see that He is good.
Right.
So, you taste it. They have a thing over at Six Flags. I forget what it's called. You fellows that frequent the place could tell me, I guess. Wrong side. You fellows that frequent the place could tell me, I guess. You get on it and it goes up. What is it called?
Superman.
I got on that thing one time. And I thought for sure that when I took off, my body stayed behind. And I got on that thing, and that thing went, pew! And then, you know, if I remember correctly, it lingered a little bit. And then it went, pew! More. And then it stopped. And I thought, wow, that was great. But what goes up has to come down. And that thing did not just casually, it wasn't like parachute dropping. It was with great force that they pressed that mean button. And it went, and I thought, oh. You know, when you're with a bunch of kids, you don't want them to think. There's something, ego, pride, call it what you want to call it, but you don't want them to think that, you know, that, you know, that, you know. So we got off of that thing, and one of the guys said, "Wasn't that fun, preacher?" I said, "Oh, yeah, that was a blast." I said, "You want to do it again? Come on, preacher. Let's do it again. Didn't you like it?" So I said, "Sure, let's do it again." I got in that thing, did the same thing. Now I knew what it was going to do because the first time it was like shock. The second time, I knew what was coming. I prepared my heart. I bent my toes in a downward fashion to hold my shoes on. I knew what to grab, but yet not hard, but I went into a very relaxed, jello-y type of state. And I thought that would help. And it did not help. But I'm here to tell you, I've ridden it probably 6-7 times. The first time, shock, heart attack, can't believe. It's like when somebody new comes to our church, first time, shock, heart attack, can't believe. And then they say, I think I want to go back again. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to dare one of my friends to come. Because I just want to see the expression on their face when they show up. And then all of a sudden, I preach or I get one of these guys to preach and it's like shock, unbelief. Now, why is it so that way? I'm not really sure. Because I think that what we do is natural. I'm perfectly comfortable with everything that we do. If I wasn't comfortable with everything we do, then we probably wouldn't do it. But I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with the way that we deliver sermons. I'm comfortable with the way the teachers teach. I'm comfortable with the way the choir sings. I'm comfortable with the way we shake hands. Even when diseases are going around. I'm comfortable with the way that we run our buses. Now, I'm not comfortable always, you listen to me, I'm not always comfortable when things go wrong. But anything that has a forward motion is going to have some things sometimes that goes wrong. He that tries to accomplish nothing will certainly do it every time. And by the way, you're going to have members that bug you, irritate you, bother you. Now, thank God, that's why God gave us a big auditorium. You have somebody irritate you, you don't have to sit on the same pew with them. You say, I didn't know that. I'm moving right now. I'm not talking about separating from your wife. Please stop. But, you know, you go to Walmart, you're going to find somebody that rubs you the wrong way. But you don't say, I'm nutter! Come on. Coming back! No, you still go back. You just don't check out at that person's line. That's what you do. Never forget, I was in Walmart one day and this guy had real long, pretty, flowing. I mean, it's long, pretty, it's pretty, flowing hair. I embarrassed me. He was at the end of the aisle and said, ma'am. Ignored me. I thought, that's not nice. I am a friendly Walmart shopper. And the Walmart employee is ignoring me. So I said, ma'am! They ignore me again. That's not nice. So I said, hey, you! He turned around and said, can I help you? I said, just seeing how your day's going. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you make sure Our Lord Jesus, the Bible says, was full of grace and truth. I want us to be very strong. I love our country. I'm scared for our country. I'm scared for our country. I want us to be able to get back to the old ways of doing the things that are truth, helping people, loving people, encouraging people, winning souls, helping families, staying true to the book, but at the same time being kind, being balanced, not being stuck on yourself, but being somebody that really cares. I tell you this, I've got to quit. Brother Dwight was with me soul winning yesterday, along with different men. I took it at different times, and Dwight and I was out soul winning. And we knocked on this one door, as we did many doors that day. Went into the house of this man, probably in his 60s, late. I did the best I could, go through the plan of salvation. I don't pretend to be a great soul winner, but I do care. And I stood there and went through the plan of salvation, did the best I could, and tried to give him a gospel invitation to receive Christ. This dear older man said, "No, not now." Broke my heart, and I said, "Well, let me show you the urgency of this. You can't save anybody, you know, I know that." So I made a second run. I made an appeal. And he said, "No, not yet." I said, "Brother Dwight, do me a favor. Share your testimony. Share your testimony." So he shared his testimony. I made a third run. Invitation. "Would you like to receive Christ?" "No, not yet." Boy, I thought about that old man in the afternoon. I couldn't help but pull aside and just cry a little bit. Because he did not understand that if he dies without Christ, he'll burn in hell. Now, can I tell you tonight, dear friend, listen to me. Let's not forsake the old path.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.